Thanks for checking out episode 6 of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. This week, Brad will talk about a post you may have seen a couple weeks ago about data availability. That means reducing downtime and having access to the data when you need it, and choosing the right tools to make sure this is possible. All of this, plus a very special musical number on this episode of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson, the Corporate Vice President of the Windows Server and System Center business. So, Brad, on the topic of continuous availability, there's an understanding amongst cloud providers and businesses. Maybe it's implicit, but I think most of the time it isn't, that we tell people your data is going to be there when you need to go get it. And I imagine that's a relationship that weighs heavily on you and your leadership team.
Yeah, you know, the whole concept of continuous availability, this is actually one of the core principles that I think as we first started understanding what the cloud could do and first started understanding the value that we wanted to build into cloud computing, this continuous availability was something that we really felt was, continuous, like always, was something only a handful of organizations could invest in to actually deliver worldwide continuous availability. And we always thought the cloud would bring that to the masses, would bring that to an organization that's a startup, a mid-sized organization, an enterprise. And so continuous availability has always been one of the topics or one of the scenarios that we always felt was high in terms of usage, would be high in terms of value for organizations of all sizes anywhere in the world.
So when we talk about that reduction of downtime, there's kind of two parts of it. There's reducing downtime, and then there's also disaster recovery. But those are two different things. But from a solution standpoint, how do you approach continuous availability?
Yeah, so as you think about this, there's a couple of different things that you need to be thinking about. First of all, there is the challenge of how do you make sure that all of the data itself is available in multiple locations. And so when a disaster does occur in one location, you've actually got a backup or a replica of the data in another place that you can fail over to or you can move to. Okay. So one of the big challenges is how you do that in an efficient way, and how do you do that in a non-impactful way so that you do have that data available, so when you do have to switch over or move over to something that it is available. That's the first challenge. And the second challenge, and we're just simplifying here, is when something does happen, how do you actually make the switch?
Right.
Is that automatic? Is that something that, requires some human intervention? And when you make that switch, how much downtime is available? And when you make that switch, how much data has been lost? Is it the last 10 seconds? Is it the last minute? Is it the last hour? So as we think about continuous availability, it's how do we get everything replicated, backed up? How do you switch over? When you do switch over, what's the impact to the users, in terms of how long is a service lost, and then how much data is potentially lost? And all those things come into bear here. What cloud computing has brought to the world is everyone said, just expects all data is going to be always available. And when some type of a continuity issue does happen, that there is no loss of data. I mean, that's where the expectations are leading.
Now, there's no shortage of products that are trying to address this problem, but a lot of these aren't necessarily coming from a company that has a decade plus of running a private and a public cloud. So how do we roll the things that we're learning, and what are some of those things that we've learned that we roll into building these solutions?
Well, I would first say that this is a work in progress for us.
Sure.
We've been investing in a number of different areas here, whether that be work that we do with clustered file servers, which is all, and everything that we're doing here is backed with what we call storage spaces, which we'll talk about what that delivers. But we've got a server backup that we now ship as a part of Windows Server that backs up to Azure. We've got an acquisition that we did called Store Simple, which gives you another way to do backup and replication, and you tier storage up to the cloud. Has a set of capabilities that we call Hyper-V Replica. And then finally, we have the System Center Data Protection Manager that ships as a part of the System Center product. So we actually have got quite a bit of investment that we've made in this area. And I think one of our ongoing pieces of work is going to bring a lot more of this together and make it more unified, more cohesive. So it's easier if you understand which of these you should be using, because they actually do have different use cases.
Well, let's get into the nuts and bolts about that a little bit then. Microsoft, as you rattled off, there's there's several of those. I mean, let's start with the clustered file server.
Yeah, so one of the great things about the clustered file server is it really is as simple of a solution that exists on the market right now. that allows you to basically take, you know, multiple file servers, bring those together in a cluster with shared data that now gives you that ability that when, you know, you get effectively a cluster in a box. And, you know, as I take a look at other offerings in the market around things that clustered file server attempts to deliver, super complex, super expensive, you know, and when super complex and expensive means that generally speaking, it's going to take you a great deal of time to set up. Often you have to bring in, you know, armies of consultants to set it up. And that's just not the way it should be. So with clustered file server, this literally was something that we built that, you know, out of the box in Windows Server, it's just a part of your, it's just a part of your Windows Server license. And you can literally set up a clustered server, a set of clusters, set capabilities, you know, I don't want to say with a couple of clicks of the mouse, but in a much more simple way than anything on the market to give you that continuous availability, highly availability solution in your data centers.
And I think that clustered file server is a great example. When we, you know, we've all seen those total cost of ownership calculators before, but when we talk about, you know, the how streamlined that setup process can be versus having to, well, once you buy it, your spending isn't done yet. There's still an army of people that need to come in and get this set up for you. I mean, it's a great message there.
Yeah, you know, the one of the ways we've described this internally is, you know, hey, when a customer purchases a solution like us, you know, do we roll a nice shiny car into the driveway, or do we pull up a dump truck and dump out all the parts and say, hey, go assemble it yourself?
Go build a nice car.
That's right. And, right. And you know, I think, I'll be the first to say, hey, there's always more work that we can do and more work that we do want to do to simplify these. But if I compare clustered file server with, for example, the solutions that come from VMware, dramatically more simple, and it's just a part of your license, and so you don't get, you know, nickeled and dimed to death in terms of getting these things built out.
Now, if we're talking about clustered file server, it also makes sense to tell us about more about storage spaces.
Yeah, storage spaces, I think, is one of the most interesting set of innovations coming out of Microsoft. And I think one of the things that over time that we'll see, you know, just bring tremendous benefits to the market. At a super high level, as you think about storage spaces, think about the ability to take cost-effective, you know, direct storage and deliver capabilities through that in the past you had to go purchase SANs and highly expensive storage offerings to deliver. And so, you know, whether there's a whole set of capabilities that we do through storage spaces that literally you can now do on that commodity hardware. So at a high level, just think about it that way. So, you know, more of a bottleneck storage, thin provisioning, the things that historically you literally would have to go to a SAN to get, you can now deliver on commodity, low cost, at a fraction of the cost. And it's one of those spaces that as I think about one of the areas of Windows Server that I get the most excited about the future of, storage space is one of those places that I think we're just starting on the innovation here.
Another tool that you mentioned on the list that I'm a particularly big fan of is Hyper-V Replica. And we were talking before we get started that there's a great story in there with Xerox.
Yeah, so the way to think about Hyper-V Replica is think about being able to have a complete copy of all your VMs stored in another data center. Okay, and that could be in your data centers, and, you know, we certainly want that to be in service provider data center and in Windows Azure, but, you know, have full copies that are up to date, so when you do need to fail over, you could do that. And there's actually two different stories that come to mind, and the first one is Xerox. And I talked about this a little at the Microsoft Management Summit, but Xerox had this issue where all the IT operations organization was in the United States, all their developers were in India. And the challenge that they would run into is when a problem happened, IT would find it, they would troubleshoot it, they would find it, and then the communication that had to happen, all the challenges of working across, you know, just across the globe, you know, literally halfway around the globe, would happen. And so, you know, they would file issues or incidents, and the development team in India would look at it, but, you know, you'd have the round trip issues, and if you don't get all your questions answered, it could be you have to wait, you know, 12 or 14 hours before the team comes in again, and it would just long and delayed. And you know, there was a particular incident where this kind of just hit a point of frustration inside of Xerox. So what they actually have done now is they are using Hyper-V Replica, and what it does is it replicates all the VMs of all the servers running in, for example, the United States, onto servers in India, so that as issues come up, the development teams in India have all of the replicas up to date, right there sitting in their data centers, and they can troubleshoot real time rather than have to come across the globe, rather than have to ask questions across the globe. Everything that they need is right there. And they gave us some fascinating data points on the impact of this. They talked about, you know, from an attrition standpoint, the developers in India, they've seen close to 75, almost 80% reduction in attrition.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, people are happy. They're not frustrated because they're having to work late into the night or early in the morning to work with their counterparts in the United States. They've seen an increase in the effectiveness of the developers by close to 40%. And you know, what I mentioned at the Microsoft Management Summit is I don't know that I've ever seen a 40% – one thing deliver a 40% improvement in productivity of any team. So that's just a huge number. Yeah, and the end result really is the customers, whether that be internal Xerox employees or customers for which Xerox is doing development work for, mm-hmm. are much happier because the mean time to resolution, the mean time to getting things fixed is dramatically shortened because of the way that they use Hyper-V Replica. Another interesting story that I would tell is when Hurricane Sandy hit, or not Hurricane, the Storm Sandy hit, there were a number of organizations in lower Manhattan who had their data centers flooded. Right. And they had been using Hyper-V Replica to actually replicate those VMs to other data centers. And so they didn't lose business because they were automatically able to fail over, even though their data centers in lower Manhattan had been flooded. They just switched over to the replicas that they were using in other locations, and business carried on.
Wow. Now, there's a couple tools also that are a little closer to home. There's Windows Server Backup and then also System Center Data Protection Manager.
Yeah, and they actually share quite a bit of common code. They're actually built by the same team.
As I look at this, you
think about Windows Server Backup, Hyper-V Replica, Data Protection Manager. That's actually all built by a single team here at Microsoft, and so you can see how we want to bring these things together. But, you know, in the case of Windows Server Backup and System Center Data Protection Manager, they actually leverage the same agent on the server. So in Windows Server now, and we just actually turned this service on in live in a preview, you have a backup that allows you to take and just in a very simple way back up your data on your file servers up into Azure. And so we help establish that connection, and you get that backup. And I actually believe I think it's like 5 gigabytes of free space that we offer to everybody who wants to use that. And then what System Center Data Protection Manager does is it builds on top of that, gives you much more of a command and control, one-to-many, more reporting, more control capabilities to run in a higher scale type of environment. But it all leverages the same exact agent on the server. So you could start out with Windows Server Backup, and then as the organization grew or you had some of the additional needs, you could then graduate, if you will, to System Center and use the Data Protection Manager in there. But wonderful solutions. And one of the things that is most unique about, say, the Data Protection Manager is it deeply understands the Microsoft workloads. So, for example, you can back up an Exchange server without ever having to shut down the mail server because it understands, having worked with the Exchange team, we understand exactly the right way to back up Exchange so that we do it in a way that is non-impactful, but more importantly, you actually don't have to shut down any of the database or the users can continue to send mail and receive mail throughout that whole process. I think that Data Protection Manager is unique on the market and able to do that. It has deep understanding of SharePoint. It has deep understanding of all the workloads. And in fact, it actually is a common engineering criteria here that when you ship a product, a server product, that you have to do the work that integrates that into System Center. So a management pack, some of the things that we do with Data Protection Manager, but that work is actually a requirement that you have to come and demonstrate that you've got that work done before you can actually ship your product.
And I think one of the things to me that makes this list of products so exciting is there is still out there sometimes a mindset about, there's some wariness about the cloud because, where's my data? What happens to it? Can I get it if I need it? Versus, there's that mindset may like to be able to point to a box and say, like, okay, I know where mm-hmm. it is. But not only do these tools make so many of those issues go away, but in some cases, like in lower Manhattan, that you may have that box, but it's underwater now. So, I mean, being able to have these things replicated, have these things out there, I mean, it's a huge advantage.
Yeah, and it's about choice. So like with Hyper-V Replica, you can choose the data center you want to replicate that to, with things like Data Protection Manager, same. And so, this is another one of those examples where you see private hosts in a public cloud all coming together. And while we've got more work to do here, and we have, a pretty bold and clear vision on how we want to bring these things even more close together, I think that choice and that flexibility that Microsoft offers, again, is unique. And boy, we do it at a heck of a bargain price compared to others in the market.
Well, continuous availability, there's no shortage of awesome things that are getting done here. And thank you for being available today, Brad.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thanks again for listening to the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. If you'd like to read more about the topics that have been discussed today or any of the past posts that Brad referenced, check out his blog at aka.ms/inthecloud. And you can also follow Brad on Twitter at inthecloudmsft.